You may know actor Dennis Leary from his hit FX show Rescue Me. He played a New York firefighter struggling with having survived 9/11 when so many didn't. Here he talks with his buddies about drinking.
I drank the way a man is supposed to drink. I drank in dark bars, dive bars, with other men, where the bartenders were men. It's like drinking in a cave. It's pretty much how I ended up drinking at home.
Rescue Me was inspired by the events of 9/11, and for Dennis, by his own firefighter cousin dying in an infamous 1999 warehouse fire in Worcester, Massachusetts, where they both grew up. Dennis became the force behind fundraisers for firefighters' families. Through his friend, Boston Bruin hockey great Cam Neely, he organized an annual comedy event to fight cancer. Well, now Dennis Leary wants to help the entire country, and a warning, in talking about how, we're going to use a word still banned in many homes, my late mother would not approve. Dennis Leary has a new book out, Why We Don't Suck, a sequel to his 2009 Why We Suck, a feel-good guide to staying fat, loud, lazy, and stupid. We can't read you the subtitle of his new book. In fact, we can't read you very much of his new book because it's so expletive-laden. In fact, thank you and goodbye. Actually, we're not hammering everyone across the political spectrum. Dennis takes some time in his new book to take a thoughtful look at what does make America great. And Dennis Leary joins us now. Dennis, welcome.
Hey.
So what should we talk about? Because we can't talk about the chapter about what parts of the country use the F-bomb more.
Oh, yes.
No, we can't.
It's funny that you bring up the cursing chapter because in the course of writing the book, I came across a study that was done by a professor, Jack Grieve, who lives in England and studies changes in words and trends. And he had maps that showed the 8 most common curse words in America and how where and how they were used. So we have a lot of words in common. Even though we may live in different parts of the country, and even though you may have voted for Trump and somebody else may have voted for Hillary Clinton, we all share the common curse words.
And your point is, why can't we all just get along? And you take on everybody, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, because what? I mean, what are you saying here?
Well, the book started because my Democratic friends have lost their sense of humor. They spend their time rage-tweeting about Republicans. My Republican friends have lost their sense of humor. They spend their time, you know, bash-tweeting back at Democrats. My Republican friends, bow down to Hannity. My Democratic friends think that Rachel Maddow is the Virgin Mother. It's insane. And nobody's listening to anybody else. So I said, you know what? I want to write a book that just makes everybody hopefully laugh about the entire election, and also the state we find America in, whether it's racism, sexism, gun control. I wanted to actually hopefully make people laugh and make us realize there is a common ground.
You're throwing out one-liners, but then you also settle on these biographies of people who, you know, we really should be reminded about because we all do love them. Cam Neely and his Cancer Foundation, Michael J. Fox, who, of course, is battling Parkinson's. He plays hockey with you. You guys are vacationing together with your families, and you say he's in really great shape. What are you doing for cardio? And he says, I'm doing a lot of shaking. It's called the Parkinson's workout. But, you know, he give us the thumbnail. Why Michael J. Fox?
First of all, he's one of the funniest people I've ever known in my life. But, yeah, it's not a surprise to people at this point to say that he is a shockingly amazing guy who, you know, once he was diagnosed, and he certainly, you know, he had his moments when he was first diagnosed of not wanting to accept it as anybody would. And then he decided to sort of turn his life over to this sort of optimistic approach to accepting his disease and trying to go out and cure it and maybe change other people's lives who were suffering from it as well. You know, he's raised hundreds of millions of dollars for that cause. And I mean, he wrote a book about optimism, okay? But while he was writing that book, he had some writer's block while he was writing his optimism book. And he, you know, it's one of my favorite Mike Fox moments. He walked into the kitchen and he was slamming stuff around. And his wife said, what the hell's wrong with you? And he said, I'm never going to finish my book on optimism. And so she just started laughing at him. And he was like, I got it. So he's an amazing human being. I met Cam Neely through him. They were both from Vancouver, British Columbia in Canada. And Cam came to Boston to become a member of the Boston Bruins. And I met Cam. You know, Cam turned to charity work after both of his parents died from cancer, very close together, you know, while he was still playing. And so he decided to turn his star power and his celebrity as a hockey Hall of Famer into this great cause, the Cam Neely Cancer Foundation, to try to save lives. Those two people are very valuable to me because when my cousin died, I already had these two people in my life who had taken horrible events and turned them into something positive.
And well, let's just remind people of this terrible day. Your cousin and another firefighter ran into this warehouse, the fire set by some homeless people who'd fled, but people thought they were still there. They ran in to try to get them. All hell broke loose. Ceilings collapsed. Other firefighters ran in to get them. All six perished. Terrible, terrible story. And you started doing what?
We just wanted to help out the widows and the kids left behind. And from there, you know, a good friend of mine named Terry Quinn had become a firefighter in New York around the same time Jerry Lucy, my cousin, became a firefighter in Worcester when we were young. And so I was tied into a bunch of firefighters in New York because when you have a firefighter who's a friend of yours or a family member, their crew sort of gets moved into your life as well. Mm-hmm. So after 9/11, Terry Quinn said, "We're going to bring your foundation to New York and I'm going to help you. We're going to raise money to help the families, and then we're going to help out the FDNY," because one of the things they didn't have in New York, even though they have a great training facility, they didn't have a high-rise simulator. They didn't have something to simulate the events that happened on 9/11. So my name gets connected to a lot of this stuff, but really the credit goes to these people. All I am is the famous face. There's so many people, you know, that really, from Terry Quinn and other firefighters that helped me in New York to the Worcester Fire Department that helped me, you know, set up my foundation to help the Worcester families and stuff. So I'm not taking credit. I'm just pointing people towards the causes.
Right. And also, in you know, pointing people to why we don't suck, because we have those great causes.
I mean, that's the other
that.
Thing. Like, I couldn't honestly, I cannot tell you. When I'm raising money, you know, when I'm working with the FDNY Foundation to raise money along with my foundation, or I'm working with the Worcester Fire Department, the last thing that comes up is anybody's political backing. You would know if they were a Red Sox or a Yankee fan before you would know if they were Republican or Democrat, because the job that they do, you know, Mike Fox doesn't care what political party you voted for. He just wants your money to help save lives, you know?
Well, I just want to say, Dennis Leary, you mentioned your famous face, and you are known from films. Your voice is known. You know, kids know your voice from children's films. But it's actually not that famous sometimes, because you have a whole chapter devoted to the people you're mistaken for. Kevin Bacon, Willem Dafoe, Beyonce mistook you for Bryan Adams right in front of your own daughter you were trying to impress. But people walk up to you and mistake you for Ellen DeGeneres?
Yes. Listen, let me tell you something, okay? People love me. And like when I'm walking around in public, it happened to me today when I'm walking around the airport. People, they're walking and they see me and they start smiling. You know why? Because they think I'm somebody else. So it's
John Bon Jovi.
I'm telling you, people love Bon Jovi. They love Kevin Bacon. They adore Ellen and Jane Lynch.
Jane Lynch. They think you're Jane Lynch.
Jane Lynch. And you know, it's like, sometimes it depends on the haircut. Like with Jane.
Jane Lynch, Coach Sue Sylvester in Glee.
I got mistaken for her. I was playing a character on a show on FX called Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll, and I had a shag haircut. I was wearing Jackie Onassis sunglasses. I had a woman's blouse on because I was playing a failed rock star, and I had a lot of jewelry on. And this woman, you know, asked me if she could take a picture. She was like watching us film, and I said, sure. And she took the picture, and as she was flagging down a cab, she said, "Oh my God, Glee's my favorite show, and you're my favorite character." And I was like, what? And when she got in the cab, I looked in this plate glass window, and I was like, I look like Jane Marie Lynch. And in Ellen's case, I was making a football movie in Cleveland called Draft Day, and I was the coach, and my character had really short hair, and I wore he wore sport coats and T-shirts and like slacks with sneakers. And I went outside in this building we were shooting, this hotel, to have a cigarette. And I'm just telling you, I mean, I was surrounded by lesbians. There were lesbians getting off like a lesbian limo bus, and there was a table where lesbians were giving badges to other lesbians. And I was like, "What the hell's going on here?" And one of them looked over and went, "Oh my God, Ellen's here." And everybody flipped out. It turns out it was Gay Pride Weekend was coming up in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So everybody was arriving at this hotel. And I really had to say, listen, guys, I'm not Ellen. I'm Dennis Leary. And this one woman was like, Dennis Leary has longer hair. Are you Ellen or not? And I was like, listen, I can't dance. Let me dance and prove to you. And then one of the other ones went, that's not Ellen. That's not, you know.
But, well, that is also part of the cautionary tale here, too. Famous politicians and those who yap about them on all sides of the political aisle, you're not that famous someday.
No, you're not. Yeah, and you know what? It's interesting. The reason I write about fame in the book is because my children, who were millennials, they only knew Donald Trump as a guy that was the star of this television reality show. It's a game changer. Whatever you want to say about Donald Trump, it was a game changer what he did. That's why I say to my Democratic friends, you better start looking for somebody now instead of rage tweeting and find a candidate. Now, the truth is, you might have to go to somebody, you know, like him, somebody famous. I wanted to find out who the Americans consider the most trusted people. The first three people on the list are Tom Hanks, Sandra Bullock, and Denzel Washington. I'm like, these are the most trusted people in America? I mean, we're actors.
You're not the most trusted, and you may not even be the actor people think you are.
I know. Well, in my case, right. I could probably get elected because people would think I was Kevin Bacon.
Dennis Leary, his new book is Why We Don't Suck. Dennis, thank you.
You're welcome, guys.